This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's starting to feel like something special really taking place with the New York Mets, BT. Think about this. I don't think the Mets are going to be put in a more difficult, more challenging situation than they were last night, off of what happened on Monday, the doubleheader, the celebration, no bullpen, going into a team that was well-rested, a team that won their division in their house, had everything lined up the way that they wanted, and the Mets took it to them. And I really don't think at this point we could put any more ceiling on this team. Anything's possible. They continue to show us how good they've been.
Sal, that was a great win. That wasn't a good one. That was a great win. You just think about, like, there were so many times where it could have gone the other way, and whether it was during the game or even some of the decisions that obviously the Mets made going into the game. I mean, Milwaukee comes out. They score 2 in the first. Bang. Mets come back 3 in the second. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee 2 in the fourth. Mets come back with 5 in the fifth. Every time Milwaukee did something, the Mets did something back. We talked about, you know, should Winker start? He did. Reward, 2-run triple. The energy, you know, obviously him and Adamas going back and forth. And then you pinch hit J.D. Martinez, and we talked about him a lot. He delivers a 2-run single. Severino, you know, kind of on the ropes a little bit after 4 innings, 78, 79 pitches. Could have easily pulled him. He did not. He stuck with him. That got rewarded. You squeezed 6 more outs out of him. This is a Milwaukee Brewers team that is going to apply pressure. We talked about this. They said it late yesterday. However, they determined this through StatCast. Like, they're the fastest team. That's the quickest way to say it. The fastest team in baseball, and they came out and they looked pretty quick. That ball that was hit at Vientos to start, you got to make that play. Instead, it's a double, and the Mets are on the ropes, and they come right back undeterred, symbolic of who they've been so far all season.
And my favorite thing about this team, because it was a great win, no question about it, and they didn't look like they didn't have the energy or anything like that. Even with the bullpen, obviously it didn't impact them. It was a perfectly executed ball game from the Mets standpoint. Again, the Vientos stuff, that was a miscue, but he more than made up for it offensively. But they have a plan of attack, and their plan is better than their opponent's plan. Like, when you look at this Mets team and think, how the hell is this team? We even went over the roster yesterday, and I had my doubts about this series and the matchup with the Brewers. But you wonder, how the hell is this team doing what they've done all year long when you look at the roster and it just doesn't have those big stars, or whether it's in the rotation or in the bullpen or on the field itself. But then you watch them play, and they have an answer for everything. We talked about their lineup going in yesterday, and that should not be overlooked. We thought it was the perfect lineup with Winker, the lefty, in there. And what does he do? He produces in that spot. So that's a win for the Mets front office and Carlos Mendoza putting him in there. How about the idea of having Nimmo hit third in front of Vientos, which they're probably thinking down the road when a pitching change gets made, maybe somebody's going to be forced to bring in a lefty to get Nimmo, which to me at that point was the game-changing play. Pat Murphy got undressed in this game because if you know anything about the Mets and Brandon Nimmo, is that bringing in a lefty to him does nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wash. So you're then bringing in a lefty to face Nimmo, where if he doesn't get Nimmo in that spot, he's got to face Vientos. And that's a huge win for the Mets. And it played out exactly that way. And then again, going to a lefty against Winker, where what do you think he was going to do? He's going to counter with J.D. Martinez. Again, Pat Murphy managed that game, and he had no clue afterward. The Mets are just smarter. Then you look at the end of the game. You got Acuna playing second. You move Iglesias to third. Vientos out. Bader in center field, upgrading the defense. They have answers for everything. Their depth and their versatility is why, and their smart is why the Mets have had as much success as they've had this year.
Well, I'll tell you this. I do, like, the script yesterday was very interesting, and we just hit many of the reasons why. I don't know if they want to try to win this way against this team again tonight. Like, you love to see just a three-run bomb.
Right.
Maybe a little more conventional offensive output. I mean, how many times are you going to beat a throw to first base by diving head first? Now, I know that that's the Mets style.
Well, Iglesias specifically, I mean, that's what he does.
He does do that. And it's amazing. If he runs through the bag, and I'm not a proponent of going head first, because when you go head first, you truly decelerate. I mean, it's physically proven through physics that you slow down, because just to get in a position to go head first, you have to slow down a tick. But that was the right move there. And it even though it was a tick slower, it actually just based on the foot and the bag and the hands. So, I mean, he read that perfectly, but, I mean, does that happen again tonight? I don't know. Does J.D. Martinez's, five-hopper final? I don't know. But I do know that they've got a grit, which we've known about. They've got a resourcefulness that we've certainly come to enjoy and respect. But I still, this is not the kind of series where you want to have too many more games like last night, because that's what the Brewers do better than anybody in baseball.
Right. I don't think they need a game like they had last night. Tonight should be a different. The Mets needed it last night because they didn't have the pitching. Well, tonight they have the pitching lined up. But one more on last night, or not just one more, but one more thing from that inning too. The Brewers. What's the thing the Brewers are known for? Yes, chaos on the base paths, but also their defense. Chirio makes a great play on Starling Marte, and then he misreads one that led open the floodgates, and the Mets took advantage of that. That's what they do, BT. They put the bat on the ball. They keep the line moving. Don't need a big home run. Get base hits. Now, maybe tonight, Manaea goes out there, shuts them down, and somebody hits a big home run for the Mets, and then they have Diaz for a couple innings, whatever. Like, you don't know the formula.
Yep.
Last night, though, it was perfect, and it was just a perfectly executed plan by the Mets. They have the right game plan going in. Dating back to the Subway Series, where I was like, ah, God, why are you going with, this matchup? I want this guy. You're avoiding Severino. Because they looked at the matchups and said, this guy, these lefties, we throw the lefties at the Yankees, they can't handle them. And it worked all four games. That's just one example of the Mets using their smarts as what they have. So, okay, we need this here. We need this there. We need this. Then go out there and lay it out and then execute it. It was just a perfect, beautiful start to a postseason. And now, again, I'm not saying the Mets are going to World Series.
Hey, you got to be pumped, dude. Come on, you went away from moving on.
Yeah, I don't think that. I think they have as good a chance as anybody else to win the World Series.
I don't know how anybody can say that they don't. I mean, now there's varying degrees of confidence and varying degrees of stamping that statement. Like agreeing with it. I would tacitly agree with that because I do think other teams have more talent. But I'm not going to say that they don't have a chance. Listen, here's what I've learned about these Mets. They are and boy, this is very rare in baseball. They are very comfortable being uncomfortable. And that's their MO. Like,
right.
they just don't get rattled.
To your point, down 2-0 in that game.
Boom.
The normal is, oh, it's a postseason game.
Uh-huh.
You're on the road, they're tired, this is the boom, they come right back.
I know.
They have confidence, but they've been doing it all year. They've been resilient, and that's not going away. Doesn't mean they can't be beat. That resiliency is not going away. That was a fun game last night, and this is a special group. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Chris is in Manhattan. What's up, Chris?
That game was awesome. That was inspired baseball, guys. That rally, all on two outs. Incredible. That, and you know what? They actually, their offense was like the way the Brewers would be against us. It's amazing what they did. They changed their approach, and it worked big time. And putting Vientos in the fourth spot, loved it. Winker, I mean, Mendoza just managed his butt off. Terrific.
He actually didn't even have to manage his butt off. He sat back and let the game, their game plan going in just played out perfectly, and Milwaukee walked right into it. Like, Pat Murphy didn't have a clue as to what he was doing. I did not have a major issue with him taking Peralta out. BT, I know people been getting on him for that, because I felt even early on before the run started to come, the Mets were having very comfortable at-bats.
Yeah.
Taking good hacks. They all looked locked in to a man, looked locked in, taking very comfortable at-bats. I had an issue with him going to a lefty against Nimmo. Mm-hmm. That, to me, was idiotic.
Yeah, well, with Vientos back there in this, that place got very quiet, too. You notice that? It went from loud to quiet. And that's, you know, that's the way you start it, dude. I mean, listen, we can just run down the game. And we did many components here already. But just the feel watching the game, you know, you now believe that the Mets, like when they're, even when they're staggering a little bit and trying to find the ropes, like they're going to find the ropes.
Right.
And they're going to get to the stool. And they're going to recalibrate a bit. And they're going to come out and throw some more punches.
He brings in Pat Murphy, who everybody's saying the manager of the year. He brings in a lefty to face Nimmo, which is just foolish because Nimmo's got equal splits. Like, it doesn't matter. And then you know that you have to leave him in. So if Nimmo gets on, he's going to face Vientos, which is a deadly matchup. You don't want that. Then he intentionally walked Alonso.
Yeah.
Which, it's Pat Murphy. Like, it's not 2019. Just pitch to Pete in that spot. Because he's thinking, oh, I don't want to pitch to Pete. So with the lefty on righty, so I'm going to go after Winker. And then Mendoza just countered with J.D. Martinez. It was Pat Murphy got run out of the building yesterday, got undressed by the Mets in their plan. I'll tell you, BT, I don't think I've seen a deeper, smarter team in a very, very long time than what the Mets have right now. Jeff is in Manhattan. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's up, guys? Two things. Listen, I'm a diehard Yankee fan. The Mets are real, man. I fear the Mets more than any team in the National League. The Mets are real. They have to fight them. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I definitely wouldn't use the word fear. I think that's nuts. But are they real? Yeah. I mean, everybody that's playing right now is real. So.
And some, yeah.
Oh, the Braves aren't. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it's one game.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. I hear you.
They just look like
they look bad.
They look like a beaten team.
They might be.
Ran out of gas, all the injuries.
And something else. Listen, guys, if the Mets keep on playing like this, in the solo sweepstakes, they might not have to outbid the Yankees by much, man.
Hey, but Jeff, here's the thing, and thank you for the call. And we'll get into plenty of Soto. Right now, Mets don't even care about Juan Soto. Like, that's it. I'm telling you, I was the first one who said, oh, Soto, got to get Soto. He's irrelevant. The Mets could go win a World Series right now. Who gives a crap about Juan Soto? Yankees should care about Juan Soto. Mets don't have to worry about that right now. Everything they're doing is fine. It doesn't mean that you wouldn't want to upgrade, obviously, in the offseason. They're going to have to address that there. But right now, I think the Mets have as good a chance as anybody. Which I didn't feel like that, and I don't know if that's just like history of being a Met fan or trying to see through what I'm really watching and hope and believe and use logic and think like, all right, some point, maybe catch up with them, got to be a tired team, Milwaukee, all they got to do is win two games at home. But then you watch it last night, I don't know how you can't believe in this team.
You know, I do. I still, you know, and again, this is, I don't even want to get into this now because it takes away from the win, but since it is big picture-ish, you know, last caller said, you know, fear and whatever, they're legit, and so far they've proven to be pretty legit here. You know, they're not going to win without Pete. I mean, we're going to come back to that at some point. Eventually, Pete's going to have to hit, but I mean, that's not the discussion now.
No, but I like that discussion because they haven't had to win so far with him. Like,
I know. But
here we are. I mean, they already won a postseason game. Man. They got there without him. They won a game without
understood.
Him.
I know. It's one game. Listen, these things flip fast. They flip fast positively and they flip fast negatively. So as amazing as last night was, and I hope we get the same thing tonight. I hope the Mets win and I hope they get the chill. Hope they move on to round two. We'll get to the Yankees this weekend. Let's get this thing going deep into October. Let's have some fun. But it can easily be Brewers 7, Mets 1 tomorrow, and Met fans are terrified, and Pete's, you know, 1-for-9, right. and everything's different. Like, yeah. He's going to have to hit at some point.
Yeah, I mean, even if they lost tonight, now the difference is they have their ace on the mound tonight. Tonight's a game where Sean Manaea, and there's another level to, or layer to the conversation, where Manaea's got to go out there and be the stopper. And their bullpen, their A bullpen, is lined up to have success tonight. So if they lose, it will be a terrible disappointment. But yeah, I mean, that's what happens in these series. But this team has proven all year long that they can win without Pete Alonso. What's another series or two? Antonio in Manhattan. What's up, Antonio?
Hey, what's up, Sal? What's up, BT?
Yeah.
I guess that's, yeah. Okay, nah, man. So this is the thing, man. The Mets haven't accomplished nothing. So people are, like, getting all, like, hyped up about the Mets. Let's see what happens. This is the thing. I think this game is crucial. Your favorite pitcher, Frankie Montas, is pitching today. So this is the thing, right? The Brewers are going to come hard at the Mets. I mean, the first two innings, they're going to come hard.
Oh, well, I would hope they were coming hard last night in game one. I mean, what are we waiting for here? It's the postseason.
I'm telling you, the intensity is going to be hard.
Antonio, it's the playoffs, bro. It's the playoffs. They should be coming hard from the get-go.
The thing is, they're going to be desperate, man. So what's the thing here? Basically, knock out Montas. That's basically what you have to do. This guy is a 5 ERA pitcher? You have to basically go hard at this guy, because I'm telling you, the Brewers, man, people think, oh, yeah, that's it. It's over. It's not
no,
over.
No. Nobody said it's over, but you said the Mets haven't accomplished anything yet. Where are you getting your facts from?
Yeah, no. I'm just saying that, look, the goal here is to win the World Series. So this is not about, okay, yeah, they got into the playoffs. Okay, they did better, than we expected. Okay, but let's win this series.
They're trying to win this series, and thanks for the call. Trying to win this series. They've played one postseason game, and they've won it. In convincing fashion, I might add. Now, anything could happen, sure, but like what? Oh, the Brewers are going to come hard tonight? It was game one last night.
Brewers scored 2 in the first yesterday. I thought they started pretty hard yesterday, no?
Yeah. I mean, and they had their best pitcher going yesterday. The Mets, look, what happens? Anything could happen. The results may vary, but I'd rather be put in the Mets position right now than anybody else. With Sean Manaea on the mound, with their bullpen rested from yesterday, that's the key.
That's a huge thing.
Yeah.
You're Seve squeezing out those extra, and the easiest thing would have been, all right, you're done, four innings, 79 pitches, let's go. But he was managing two games. He was managing the one that he was managing, and he was looking ahead to today. And there was a roll of the dice, and he got rewarded. Severino rewarded him. What did he get? 6 more outs.
And that's why I say it's a perfect inning. And Severino thought he was, perfect game. That's why Severino thought he was going to be out of there. But for him to go 6 innings, hand it over to Buto, who goes a solid 2, Stanek, like the Mets didn't even use their A stuff last night. Offensively, yes, but didn't even use their A, and maybe not even. They used their best stuff offensively. Hey, you're right, a little base hit here, a little base hit there, take advantage of a bad defense.
Uh-huh.
Didn't even see the power on full display from the Mets. It was a perfect game. Does it mean they're going to win the next, tonight or tomorrow even? Who the hell knows? We'll see, but I'm very comfortable and happy and surprised. Maybe I shouldn't be, but I was surprised with that result yesterday.
I was surprised the way they came back. We got off the air. I don't know. I don't even know if we really made a prediction. You said you were a little worried about the series.
Yeah, I thought Milwaukee was a bad matchup for them.
Yeah, I mean, listen, at this point, what do predictions mean? Yeah. I mean, we all want the Mets to move on so we could have some fun here, but I didn't make an official prediction. I think that the Brewers probably, at least going into the series, a little bit better. But I don't, like, it means nothing right now. You've seen this time and time again. You know, and just take the Mets from 88. I mean, they should have mopped the floor with the Dodgers. They didn't.
Right.
October's nuts, and the Mets are off to a good start. Really good start.
Jerry's in Brooklyn. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Jer.
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good. Right, what's up?
I just wanted to say, it feels great to be a Mets fan today, but besides that, could you imagine this guy, Alonso, if they actually we had this premier bat in this lineup right now? I mean, I watched him last night on he get ahead in the count and a 96 right down the middle. They're throwing literally right at him. This guy could get this contract straightened out next year if he has a big postseason. If we had this bat in this lineup and he was what he's supposed to be, then you could talk about a World Series. But I think without him doing what he's supposed to do, it's going to be tough, guys. It's going to be real tough.
Yeah, I mean, that's bigger picture. And, that's going to creep into the conversation because until Pete's either gone or re-signed, he's still here and he's not re-signed. So it's a massive talking point. I agree. Listen, they've won a lot without him. And Sal, you just said that. You're not wrong. I think, you know, to go multiple series without any real influence from Pete seems to me unrealistic. But they've also defied a lot of logic so far.
Yeah, I mean, you would... I think it would enhance their chances if Pete started being an impactful player, but he hasn't gotten in the way so far, and he hasn't gotten a big hit all year long. The Mets are still here. We said the same thing. Hey, down the stretch, at some point, they're going to need Pete to get going to get them into the postseason. They didn't. All right, well, they're going to need Pete in the postseason. So far for a night, they didn't. Maybe at some point they will need him. So far, they've survived without Pete Alonso being impactful. Now, if he does, it could make them even that much more dangerous. BT and Sal on the Fan. More your calls on the other side. We'll get into the Devontae Adams stuff and the Jets coming up in a little bit. Howie Rose coming up at 11. Susan Waldman in the 12 o'clock hour. So a lot to do on this Wednesday.
For the Mets after a terrific performance
yesterday. Sean Manaea tonight. It's funny how the things line up. Like, you think going in, BT, oh no, the pitching's not going to be good. And the way the Mets were able to push back Severino to yesterday, and then the way they were able to win that game going away, didn't even have to stress it really late, and you get the innings from Buto out of the bullpen, saving that bullpen. Tonight now you go in with an A game with your ace on the mound in Sean Manaea. The only question is, last time out, Manaea against the Brewers on Friday, last Friday, he got lit up. Brewers got him hard. Is that the aberration, or is Sean Manaea, you know, something about the Brewers have his number, which could be a problem for the Mets tonight, and then all of a sudden you'd find yourself in a must-win game, elimination game on the road with Jose Quintana in all likelihood on the mound. So this is a game I think the Mets need to get tonight.
Yeah, he's got to give a chance to win. And, you know, like, you know, you say the Mets ace, and he is, but... You know, there's different types of aces. I mean, think about all the years when, like, I remember the Yankees would lose a lot of games early to Minnesota. Pettitte would get the ball, and you'd feel very good about Andy Pettitte coming back and pitching the Yankees back into the series. Now, the thing about Sean Manaea, while he's definitely the Mets ace this year, he doesn't have any equity here except for what he's done so far this year. So that doesn't mean he can't go out and, you know, put five or six zeros up there, or, you know, sprinkle five or six hits and give up two or three runs and win the game. He certainly could. He's been very good this year. But the level of conviction, you know, at least from where I'm sitting, like the level of belief for him to go out there and be great tonight, I don't expect him to be great. I expect him to be competent and solid and, you know, give the Mets a chance to win. I don't know if I expect the whole lot.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A lot more than that.
Yeah, I expect, like give me a number.
5 2/3, three.
No, he's got to be more than that.
I don't know if I expect it.
Yeah, since August 16th, yep. 7, 6 and 2/3, 7, 6 and 2/3, 6 and 2/3, 7, 7. If he doesn't give 7 tonight with fewer than 3 runs allowed, I'd be terribly disappointed. Now, his last start against the Brewers, 3 and 2/3, he got lit up. 5 earned runs, 6 runs overall, so... Look, Mania is well rested here. He's got to go out there and dominate. It's simple as that. So if, and I wanted the Mets to go out there and get an ace at the trade deadline. They didn't. Mania turned into that. Well, this is the game where you show your worth. He's got to go out there and prove that he is that ace for the Mets. And you're right, there are different levels of aces, but he was pitching like one of the best pitchers in baseball.
He was on a roll.
For an extended pitch, for an extended time period here, I expect minimum 7 innings, 3 runs tonight from Mania. And I think that should be enough to get the job done.
Oh, if he gives you 7, you guys are in fantastic shape.
Well, I mean, who knows what Diaz, but yeah.
No,
I mean,
you know what I'm saying, though. Just in terms of being in a position to win the game, 7?
They should hit.
Take it now.
They should hit Montas. That's the problem with the Brewers. Brewers are, great defensive team, and they're scary on the base pad. So they have some guys that can do some damage.
Usually.
Yeah, good bullpen. But, I mean, their pitching, starting pitching stinks.
Yeah.
I mean, the best they can throw out there is Peralta, and now they're following up with Frankie Montas?
I mean, Montas has been bouncing around. You're supposed to punish this guy tonight.
We'll see how this goes tonight, of course. 888-808-1019. John is in Franklin Square. What's up, John?
What's up, guys? Good morning.
All right, John.
Listen, I think you guys got to pump the brakes a little bit. You're mad hyped. It's fool's gold. You're playing the Milwaukee Brewers. You're not. You guys are acting like you're playing the Phillies or the Dodgers. You got to face Frankie Montas tonight, which is a joke. You're playing Milwaukee, which plays in the worst division in baseball. Milwaukee has nobody. They have no Christian Yelich. You Met fans are delusional. You get hyped about Grimace throwing out the first pitch. Now I got to look at the
John, which team do you root for?
Do I sound like a Met fan? I'm a winner. I'm a Yankee fan.
Yeah, okay. And when was the last time the Yankees were in the World Series?
I saw the Yankees win more in my life.
No, that's not what I asked you. John, that's not what I asked you. Are you hard of hearing?
Are not good.
John, get lost. That's what we're going to do.
How does it always devolve into this?
How do people wake up like that? I don't understand it. Like, John, you're allowed to root for who you want to. You also should acknowledge what you're seeing.
It's the lowest form of radio.
But he's not a host. That's why he's a caller. And he just sounds like a complete idiot.
But that, to me, is the lowest form of radio. Like, when you call, you can talk about the Brewers not being a power. They're not a power. The division was kind of weak, but they did win it by a ton of games.
Is the National League better than the American League?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you could say, yeah.
Well, what do you think? I'm asking your opinion.
Do I think? Maybe.
I have an answer. Yes, it is. The National League is better.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Based on what?
They're better. I think the Phillies and Dodgers are better.
I think the teams at the bottom.
I'm asking you to give me an opinion. So is your opinion the American League?
I'm thinking through it, actually, is what I'm doing.
Okay, well, while you
know.
Well, while you do that, I'm going to give an answer.
It's close.
I think the National League is better.
Okay, based on what?
The Mets were the sixth seed.
Based on what, Sal?
I'm telling you. The Mets are the sixth seed, and I think they're better than any team in the American
League. Based on what?
Based on the way that they've played since June, they've been the best team in baseball.
Okay, great. Fantastic.
Well, you asked me to give you an answer.
Can you substantiate it?
I thought I just did.
I don't think you did.
Well, okay, you asked me based on what, and I said based on the fact that the Mets, who were a sixth seed, have the best record in baseball since June. That's not enough for you? What more do
you want
to tell
you? How many games
did they win? Oh, 89?
Okay. Yeah. How many teams won more games?
Okay,
5, 6?
But I'm confused as to what
I'm confused, too.
Okay, well, give me your
answer. By the way, I was just on your side with that guy who called in.
Well, I just had...
what are we doing here?
Well, I was just
Let me lay down a law. The one thing I'm not doing, ever. Yeah. All right, so everybody hear this, okay? Yeah. For the next month, and if you do this, you're getting clipped. I'm not going through this nonsense. If you're a Yankee fan and you call, right, and you take away from this, you're an idiot. And we're just not going through this.
Well, my point
is... I'm not talking to you for a second. Yeah. And if you're a Met fan and you go through this with the Yankees, we're not having it. This is supposed to be fun.
Understood, but when he's calling and disparaging the Brewers, I'm trying to make an argument, and I'm going to give you the reason why. He dismisses the Brewers. The Brewers were the three seed. They had 93 wins. Who in the American League had 93 wins? There was one team.
Okay.
The Yankees had 94.
Understood.
So the caller is bringing up an idiotic point.
But
so
that's why to, I dismissed
well,
him.
I asked you because I'm thinking you're going to say the National League is deeper, and then we're just going
to
move on.
Well, I like to think about things before I answer.
That's fair.
And by the way, my answer probably would have been the National League.
Right, okay, well, and then that's the point. So the National League has been better. The Brewers are the 3 seed in the National League, and the Mets beat them in a game. So that doesn't mean the Mets are going to win the series.
One game.
No, it's one game.
And it's
exactly.
a good start.
It's one game, but that is an idiotic call on many different.
I don't disagree with that.
Not to mention, you got to get your facts straight because you said you're a Yankee fan and you like winning. And I asked you the question, and again, you sound like you're a political figure. You don't answer the question directly. I ask you a question, you're talking about something else. I asked you a question. When was the last time you saw the Yankees in a World Series? The answer is 2009. And then I would ask you, when was the last time you saw the Mets in the World Series? And the answer is 2015. Now, what does that mean? Nothing. But it can't be that you got used to seeing the Yankees win all the time. Because they haven't even been to a World Series more recently than the hapless, crappy, sucky Mets. And that's the point.
That is low-form radio right there,
it's just
guys.
Stupid.
Be better than that. Come
God,
on.
Don't
enjoy the
these
win.
Guys on. Chris is calling from White Plains. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, never mind the fact that the Mets won all four games they played against the Yankees. But anyway, BT, I got to give you credit for something you said yesterday to Sal when he was talking about how if the Mets lose, it's okay. We weren't expected to be here, yada, yada. And then you said, well, wait a minute. Is it that or is it they've been the best team in baseball since June? And the answer is they've been the best baseball team since June. So let's just keep going. That's the team that I'm rooting for.
100%. Yeah, I mean, listen, what the Mets are showing you now, and this is why it's fun, is that they've shown you they can win a lot of different ways. I mean, I can't get in the heads of everybody, but when Lindor got hurt and nobody really knew what his status was, now you can project confidence, you can certainly root, you can certainly hope, of course you're going to do that, but to think that the Mets were going to just, you know, plow forward without interruption was a little unrealistic, but yet they did. They beat the Phillies 3 times without Lindor. So I don't, you know, one of the things that Sal said to start the show, and I agree with this, is that I think it's foolish to place a ceiling on these Mets. And I don't know that anybody really is. I mean, outside of maybe, the, you know, the pettiness, the Yankee fan corner, which whatever, it's just moronic. But I think that the Mets have, and listen, this is a very basic statement, they've earned the respect of everybody. They catch the ball, they're deep. I mean, every player on the Mets roster has been useful.
You know,
really, everyone, Sal.
And to your point yesterday, to what the caller brought up, you're right. And now the expectations have changed. I shouldn't be limiting, well, yeah, you know what, it's nice that they got in. Now, if they lost this series, it would be a terrible disappointment. Still, would you go nuts and say, you know, this guy doesn't have it or whatever? No, but now it would be a terrible disappointment. You win one game in a best of three with your ace on the mound the next night. Now the expectation is you better go take on the Phillies.
Yeah.
And the expectation there will be you're going to compete with the Philadelphia Phillies. So, like, I don't look at it like, oh, they can't beat the Phillies. I thought this would be the toughest matchup going in. Actually, I was
Why?
Talking about...
Because of the actual matchup or because of the short series?
Both. I think both.
And the turnaround.
Correct.
Yeah,
the quick turnaround
yeah.
off of that.
Yeah.
The actual matchup, which proved to be a nightmare in the regular season, which obviously means nothing anymore. I mean, the Mets got swept by the Cubs back in 2015, and they ended up sweeping the Cubs in the postseason. So the regular season matchup shouldn't really matter. But when you watch it, it's hard not to let it factor in at all. Short turnaround in Milwaukee, best of three. There's no wiggle room, no margin for error. The Mets were set up to lose last night. Based on everything logical and factual, they were set up to lose last night.
And they were.
And they won. And they won convincingly.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, how am I not supposed to believe that they're going to win this series? Now, it doesn't mean they're going to, but I don't have that roadblock with the Phillies. I think they can beat anybody. Kevin is in Yonkers. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Kev.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Kev?
I'm thoroughly enjoying these MLB playoffs. Started with that extra doubleheader. Full disclosure, Yankee fan all the way through. But love what the Mets are doing and love Mendoza. Really impressed with his speech after winning right there. I know that you guys replayed that. Your thoughts on his speech in terms of addressing the team. And then secondly, I'm drawing parallels, you know, to the 96 Yankee team in terms of the chemistry that they're displaying, the way in which they're winning, and comparing specifically Iglesias with Mariano Duncan and his coin phrase, we play today, we win today. because that's what I'm seeing, and I'm enjoying it as a fan and lover of baseball. So I applaud and accept your invitation. As Yankee fans, don't be mad haters, man.
Yeah,
be a baseball lover.
To each
good baseball.
To each their own, Kevin. Thank you for the call. We can't do that, obviously. We're sports talk show hosts first. So, like, yeah, obviously BT's a Yankee fan. I'm a Met fan. But it's not Mets versus Yankees. And I'm with you, BT. I can't stand when people do that, which is why I wanted to put the guy in his place with some logic and some facts. But whatever. Besides the point, there is something about this team, the way they've been doing it, defying logic all year long. Whether it's guys getting hurt, whether it's guys getting suspended, where it's just not having enough talent, or what we deem is not enough talent. Jose Iglesias, like, do we think the Mets are real? Well, do you think what Jose Iglesias is doing is real? The guy's hitting, what, 340? I mean, how are we supposed to think that that's real?
I don't know that it matters anymore.
Well, it is. It turned out to being real.
That's what I mean. Like, when you're doing it, it's real.
Yeah, I mean, it's been doing it all year long.
It's a little unbelievable, but it's... You know, specific to the 2024 Mets, it's very real.
And we've seen this before in sports where a team that on paper doesn't look like it's the most talented or certain things are happening that you just can't believe in continues to... Like, the vibes I was getting after last night were Eli Manning Giants-type vibes. Like, I never believed, especially the first one, ever. Every step of the way, like, all right, they're not, they can't get to the playoffs or whatever. They're not going to win a playoff game. They're not beating the Cowboys. They're not beating the Packers. They're not beating the Patriots. Every step of the way, I was like, it can't. And then they do. And at some point, you got to be like, geez, something special going on with this team.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm feeling with the Mets. Like, logically, they're not going to, maybe it's a bad matchup with the Brewers. And they go out there and play like they did last night. They've been doing it all year long. Oh, the postseason is going to hold up. And yes, it has. It's remarkable what the Mets have done. All right, we touched on it yesterday, but Adams himself spoke out on possibly being traded.
He's not playing another snap for the Raiders. So, listen, the Jets are in the absolute worst spot right now where they must try to save their season. Sal, they're going out to London right now, and they're in complete disarray. Their offense looks awful. For some reason, Garrett Wilson and Rodgers can't even get remotely on the same... They're not even... Forget about being the same page. They're not even the same book. And, you know, to me, think about this, Sal. Think about what we saw over the summer, and we kind of pushed it aside, like, because we didn't want to make a big deal out of it. Remember the discussions with Rodgers and Wilson, and they were very animated, and like, you see Rodgers pointing here and Wilson pointing there, and it just didn't seem, again, we didn't make a big deal out of it, but I didn't forget about that. And now you watch the games, and you see a completely disjointed offense. So they're going to London against a team right now that is going to probably tie them up in knots defensively, because what Flores is doing defensively is amazing right now. The Jets' pass protection's a mess. Rodgers looks like he's 50. Wilson looks like he's a C-level receiver. And Breece Hall looks like he's awful. Now that doesn't mean, Sal, that they can't come out and that they can't completely change things and play well and win a game this week. And they very well might. Although I don't expect them to, but what they have to do is preemptively save the season, because the coach is going to get whacked, GM's going to get whacked, the quarterback's going to get further frustrated, and I don't know how they can't give up whatever it takes to get Davante Adams. Davante Adams wants out. He's done with the Raiders. Antonio Pierce liked an instant. Did you see this? Antonio Pierce liked a social media, whatever, post where he basically said that he's played his last snap for the Raiders. So if the receiver wants out and the organization is ready to move him, how can the Jets not make a move and get this guy?
Yeah, and I would expect them to do so. I mean, they have the salary cap space to fit it in, I assume. I mean, that's what I was reading yesterday, and it's not going to cost a lot. The Raiders, I think the starting point was a second-round pick plus more, so you would assume that maybe it's going to be a little less than that if that's the starting point. So you would part with that. I just don't think it's going to make him. Like, I think the Jets are what they are regardless. And I get the appeal of wanting to take a shot at going to get Adams. We talked about this yesterday. I don't think it's going to fix them. Same thing with the Cowboys or other teams. We saw the Bills get better by trading Stephon Diggs, where nobody thought that was going to be the case. Oh, this fantasy world that we live in. Oh, they lose Diggs. How are they going to fix that? Well, look, they've become a better football team without Diggs. The Jets' problems, to me, while they have not been great at wide receiver, aren't fixable by just bringing in Davante Adams.
And by the way, you might be right, but to me, that doesn't mean that you can't throw it up in the air and try to make a connection here. You have to. Like, so, Sal, what's the other option? So they don't get Davante Adams. They run the risk of maybe Rodgers and Garrett Wilson not finding that cohesion that's necessary to elevate the offense, and they win, what, 7-8 games?
Right.
I mean, these next three games, this is the season, dude. This is it.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be. And now their schedule does soften up a little bit. Here's the problem.
You mean on the back end?
Yeah, here's the. Well, right, after these, you know, next three games. After Robert Saleh's the head coach. So what's changing in that regard? You're just hoping against hope. And I get it, which is why I'm saying, like, I'm not saying don't make the move. What I'm saying is make the move or not, it's still not going to matter ultimately. What will matter is, will they be disciplined up front? Meaning, stop with the stupid penalties. Will they be disciplined in general? Stop with the penalties. I have no reason to believe that that's going to be the case. Can they run the football as a team when they need to? I have no reason to believe that that's going to be the case. Can the defense actually stop the run? I have at least a little reason to believe more in the defense than the other stuff, but those are the more important things. The head coach, the offensive line, running the football, and then how good this defense can be. I think they've got a shot to fix some of it. Yeah. I don't think they can fix all of it, and I don't think Davante Adams fixes any of it.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that Davante Adams plays again for the Raiders?
It doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. I do think he'll get traded.
Okay, okay.
Who the hell knows, but I do think he'll get traded.
Do you think the Jets, whether or not it's going to solve stuff, do you think the Jets make a big swing?
I think logic is pointing to that. Now, I was reading some of the other teams. The only other team I saw was Dallas.
Right? I saw Steelers, too.
Okay, there was like eight teams on a list. Who else? Did you see anybody else?
I don't know what list you saw. I just saw the Jets and Steelers and Dallas.
I'm trying to find it here on social media, but there was a
I mean, the guy's amazing, so yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if there's eight teams.
Yeah, I mean, all right, so
the Bills?
Jets,
were the Bills mixed in there, maybe?
Well, of those teams, give me the team who is more desperate, to your point.
I think the Jets are the most desperate team in the NFL. Yeah. When you look at the trio, the three factors, the head coach, the general manager, the quarterback's age, and then the fourth, which is the overriding factor, the overall instability of the franchise and the pressure for this team to do something. I mean, let's face it, Sal, if the Steelers have a lackluster year, I'm not saying Steelers fans are going to be thrilled, but Tomlin's not going to get fired. He got the extension. He's the man up there. He's got championships. You know, well, McCarthy will get fired, but Dak's got his contract. I mean, so like in terms of pressure, I think pressure is sometimes like misused. Like, because if there's no adverse reaction to something happening, then there's really no pressure. If the Jets don't win, everybody's gone. If the Steelers don't win, nobody's gone. Well, if some of those other teams don't win, nobody's gone. The Jets have more pressure than anybody.
All right, well, what do you think is a realistic package at this point?
You know, that's above, like, I'm not even,
well,
I don't
roughly,
know.
Just,
I
mean, me neither.
A second round pick.
Okay, well, based off of the report that
I
read yesterday.
Redick?
Yeah, right.
Can you do a Redick for Davante Adams swap? I don't even know if you can. Can you? Can you? Is it legal?
I would doubt that the Raiders are going to do that myself. I don't even know what the ramifications would be with that. But
yeah.
Let's say, based off of something that I read yesterday, the starting point was a number two. I think Connor Hughes might have had that, or at least he retweeted something like that. Let's just say that it's a second round pick, third round pick, whatever, because you're going to have to give up a little bit more.
Yep.
That's not really going to crush the Jets moving forward. So they're not really giving up. Like, I don't think there's any major risk in this move.
Okay.
That's different than thinking, is the move going to work? I don't think that Davante Adams coming here all of a sudden, Super Bowl. I'm not saying you're saying this.
I got you.
Super Bowl. Because I do think there are a lot of fans out there. Hey, go get Davante Adams. Super Bowl. Rodgers. Like, that to me is a different argument than, okay, well, what's the risk? There really is no risk.
There's no risk. The only risk is when the new GM comes in, the cupboards are empty. And you know what? If I'm Joe Douglas, I can't worry about that right now.
Agreed.
That's not my concern.
And that's why I asked, like, what do you think it's going to take? Because how bad could it be? All right, giving up two...
A second and a third, a second and a fourth. Like, yeah, you got to do it, Sal.
Yeah,
I
don't think that that's that bad. So I don't think that there's risk here.
Yeah.
If somebody, now, the question I would ask you is, how annoyed at Joe Douglas and the Jets would you be if he does get dealt, but it's not here?
I'm going to flip out. I think that that's unacceptable. They have to get him.
Yeah.
They have to.
I mean, you think they will ultimately? It feels like that's
the case. I think
that
they're going to get him. Yeah. I mean, Joe is, one thing that Joe does well is trade. He's pretty good with trades.
You see this Garrett Wilson stuff yesterday, too, which could lead, you know, Garrett
he's
Wilson.
He's not too happy. I mean, these are all...
I don't think that was as big a deal as everybody's making it myself, but...
I'm kind of with you, like, the way the question was posed.
I still don't know what the question was. I mean, I think it's actually still going on right now.
He kind of walked into it a little bit there, and I think that Garrett did kind of retweet some stuff and try to contextualize and maybe disarm some of the venom out there, but the bottom line is this. They lost a horrific game this past week. They're playing maybe the best team in the NFC this weekend, and they're playing a long distance from MetLife, and if they lose, they're 2-3, and their quarterback looks old and unhappy. That's something I've got to react to.
Here's the way that
I react to that.
I'm going to stay the same and say that the Jets' season depends on what their defense is. If their defense is as big, bad, and as dominant as they say it is, then I think they'll be fine, with or without Devontae Adams. And I think last week was an aberration for the offense. Like, it was bad, don't get me wrong, but the weather definitely had a part in that. Denver's defense, not bad. It was unacceptably bad, but I think it's just one game. The defense, can the defense go out there and stuff Sam Darnold and shut down the Vikings? And then from there, once the defense establishes some consistency, stopping the run and looking dominant, I think the offense will be, even in that game, you saw some drives from Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. They're just like the drive at the end of the first half. Like, with him there, they could do special things, even without Devontae Adams. So I think their season is going to come down to how their defense performs ultimately.
Well, you know, here's what's really most disconcerting. It is October. It's October 2nd, right? October 2nd. How do you feel good about the Jets? Like, how do you have a good feeling about the Jets right now? There's so many questions. That doesn't mean that there's no answers, but right now it seems like there's more questions than answers. And if I could get an answer like Adams in here, I don't care what it takes. I got to make the move.
BT and Sal on the Fan will come back. We'll have Howie Rose to talk about the Mets game one from last night and look ahead to see what's in store for game two. We'll do that when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.